prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I be heard in the back of the room? It is some time since we've had our last class. Also for the newcomers, as you know, there are two parts to this course. Part one is on the sacraments, and part two is on prayer. In other words, the fundamental theology, as originally advertised for the course, is the fundamental theology of the sacraments, the basic truths that we need to know regarding the seven sacraments. In our last class, we looked at the sacrament of baptism. Our present class will be on the sacrament of confirmation. And once the Xerox copies are made, you will have an outline of the present class. We begin by observing that there is what we call a biblical witness, to the sacrament of confirmation. What we should know as Catholics is that we do not claim to be able to establish the institution of the seven sacraments in Scripture. As you know, most of what we believe is not found in the Bible. St. John, in his closing chapter, both the second last and last chapter of John's Gospel, he tells us, if everything which Jesus said and did are written, I doubt, John says, if the books of the whole world could contain all that our Lord had both taught and did. This is especially true of the sacraments. And that is why, having denied that divine revelation is contained in sacred tradition and sacred scripture, not common knowledge, but the Protestant reformers, as they call themselves, removed all the sacraments, even though we as Catholics say that provided they baptize by the pouring of water or immersion and pronounce the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We Catholics say their baptism, that is of those who are not Catholic, is valid. But over the years, in teaching Protestants at six of the divinity schools, there are no sacraments, as we Catholics understand them, there are no sacraments in Protestantism. They don't exist. Because the very idea of a sacrament as a visible, externally identifiable sign that confers the grace, which is signified that is nowhere in historic Protestantism. In fact, given the widespread and, I would say, an aggressive effort to, as they say, convert Catholics among the Protestant sectarians. And they'll tell people, where do you find this? Where do you find that in the Bible? Nowhere in the Bible is even a single sacrament declared by Jesus. I am now instituting, say, the sacrament of baptism. Or I am now instituting the sacrament of the Eucharist. As Catholics, we believe that Christ instituted the seven sacraments. In any case, the sacrament of confirmation was indeed instituted by Jesus Christ. And we believe that with infallible certitude. But what we call the biblical witness to the institution of confirmation can be found in the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 49, and in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. What is the witness to the fact that Christ did indeed institute what we call the sacrament of confirmation? The witness for it, mind you, not an explicit declaration by the Savior, I am hereby instituting the sacrament of confirmation. The witness, however, is in Christ's own words, both at the end of Luke and the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, also written by St. Luke, in which our Lord tells his followers, you will receive the Spirit, you will be given power. And power, says our Lord, to be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And the word that Jesus used in the Greek of St. Luke's Acts of the Apostles, the Greek word is, you will be my martyrs. Christ, therefore, having promised to give his followers the power to witness to him, even to martyrdom, must have, by the time of his ascension, and the promise was made just before our Lord ascended into heaven, he must have provided the source of that power, which the Catholic Church declares is the sacrament of confirmation. Again, we find in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 4 through 17, in which we are told that the baptized had hands placed upon them by the apostles to give them the Holy Spirit. I repeat, there is nowhere in the New Testament Christ declaring regarding any of the seven sacraments, I am hereby instituting baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, and so on. And that, by the way, is also why in Protestantism, though we as Catholics, standing on judgment on what they are doing, declare provided one sacrament. Here's the Protestants. We believe, receive, provided they either pour water or immerse in water and pronounce the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Is there another sacrament which those who are not Catholic, and especially those who are Protestants, is there another sacrament? They don't believe in it. They don't even believe, I mean it. They do not believe. No Protestant who is sane and sober would say that Christ instituted the sacrament of baptism. After 450 years, many Protestants have become Catholicized. We are grateful. Still talking a Protestant vocabulary, but depending on how zealous we are, many Protestants are thinking more and more like Catholics. Thank God. Well, there's another sacrament that Protestants receive. I repeat, they don't believe in it. It's the sacrament of matrimony. When two baptized Protestants are married, and of course it had better be a valid marriage, meaning that they've not been married before. They've both been validly baptized, and they do intend to receive or enter into a lifelong union. One man and one woman, the mathematics there is crucial. One man, one woman, and accept the children that God wants to send them. And they do indeed receive the sacrament of matrimony. And the Catholic Church then treats, deals with, and recognizes, hear it, Protestant marriages with those conditions just described, fulfilled as sacramental and indissolvable marriages. That is not unimportant to know. When then, speaking as Catholics, when then do we believe that the grace promised by Christ, when he would send the Holy Spirit, when was that grace received? It is the Church's common teaching. It was received on Pentecost Sunday. In other words, we can legitimately speak of our own Confirmation Day as our Pentecost Sunday. So much then for what we call the biblical witness. Now the essentials. The essentials of the sacrament of confirmation are, first of all, the imposition of hands. And secondly, the anointing with oil. And then the words of confirmation. We say that both parts of the ritual, both the imposition with hands and the anointing with oil, are necessary for the reception of the sacrament of confirmation. Here we ask, what does the imposition of hands signify? Remember, Each of the sacraments is a sign, is a noun, it has a corresponding verb. It must signify, that's what a sign is supposed to do. What then does the sign of imposing or placing of hands on the head of the person being confirmed signify? It first of all signifies the communication of something which the one who imposes the hands possesses. In other words, the bishop, or in certain cases you will see, a priest may confirm validly. That Christ, by the way, all the sacraments are conferred by Christ. All of them. Not merely instituted by Him, but conferred by Him. But then we speak of the one who, as we casually say, confers a sacrament. The term we use is that person is an instrumental cause. He is a channel through whom Christ confers the grace. What then is the first thing that imposition of hands signifies? It signifies that one who has whatever that person has communicates. This is from ancient times, the earliest history of the Old Testament. When one person had whatever that person possessed and then wanted to pass on to someone else, it was done by placing hands on the person who was being then given what those, or the one who imposed the hands, transmitted. Secondly, in the language of all nations, thank you. The title didn't quite come out. It's on the sacrament of confirmation. So once more, this is the chart for the sacrament of confirmation. And we're asking ourselves, what are the essentials of the sacrament and what is signified? And we're saying, the imposition or laying on of hands signifies first, communicating from the one who lays the hands on the head of the person of what he possesses, communicating to the one who is receiving that gift. Secondly, the laying on of hands signifies encouragement. Thirdly, the laying on of hands signifies solidarity. In other words, by laying one's hands on the head of a person, the one who lays his hands indicates his union, solidarity, even intimacy with the one on whose head one's hands are placed. Fourthly, the laying on of hands signifies acceptance. Acceptance by the one who lays the hands of the one on whom the hands are laid. And finally, as we see in the Gospels, our Lord used his hands especially in two ways. He used his hands to heal, and Christ used his hands to bless. And therefore, back to the sacrament of confirmation. The imposition of hands signifies all that we've said, and with emphasis, what Christ our Lord did when He laid hands, see, on children to bless them, or on those whom He was healing. Then, the anointing with oil. Again, in the language of all nations, oil is used to heal, and as part of a ritual, oil then is a sign of anointing with a view to healing internally or spiritually. Again, oil is used to nourish, so that speaking of the oil in confirmation, which signifies what? Signifies strengthening, signifies healing, signifies nourishment. And as we find in the Old Testament, there were three classes of people who were anointed. Whenever we hear the word anoint or anointing, it should always bring up the connotation of using oil ritually. What kind of people were anointed in the Old Testament? Three classes of people. Namely, priests, prophets, and kings. And consequently, confirmation is in line with the anointing that had been done over the centuries of the Old Testament. Christ Himself is identified, we use the word Jesus. And what does that word mean? Jesus means Savior. Savior. In other words, our English word Savior corresponds perfectly to the word derived from the Greek, which is Jesus. But there's another part to the name, Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus is derived from the Hebrew, so Christ is derived from the Greek. And who knows what the Greek word is Christos means?
Anointed.
Anointed. And the anointing was always assumed to be done with oil. Now, this is not a course in Christology. You'll not spend any more time on analyzing the name Jesus Christ. But anointing is, of course, the verb then, going along with the noun. The anointed one, that's our Lord, Christ. When then we are confirmed, we receive a share in Christ's anointing. We go on. You look at your charts. You all have your copy. The history. My plan is to go until through 10. If somebody would keep, let me know what the time is. 1:15. If you don't mind, we'll just go without, as we say, a break. I would like to finish confirmation today. And I brought more notes on the starting the Holy Eucharist in case we run out of time. So then, history. Until about 300 AD, in the East, only bishops ever confirmed. In the West, till about 600 AD, only bishops confirmed. Already over the centuries, on occasion, priests could be authorized by a bishop to confirm. But without that authorization, a priest cannot confirm. In other words, it is inherent in the power of a bishop to have what we call the fullness of the priesthood. Only a priest can ordain deacons, priests, and other bishops. Only a bishop, by his inherent power, can confirm. But bishops can authorize, delegate, but the delegation is necessary for valid confirmation. In 1947, Pope Pius XII authorized priests to confirm case of illness or the unavailability of a bishop. And then since Vatican II and Pope Paul VI, there are other conditions under which a priest may confirm. For example, when I instruct someone in the Catholic faith, see that person enter the church, give that person First Holy Communion, then I am now authorized by the Church of Law to also confirm. I generally try not to do that. I tell the people, even though I've received them into the church, as I did, by the way, just last week in Tijuana, Mexico, I was with Mother Teresa, who, by the way, is in miraculously good health. In fact, she left on the 2nd of February for Rome. She's in Rome today. And there were two people helping the Missionaries of Charity in Tijuana. Mother Teresa told them both, I want both of you to become Catholic. Neither was. And I got instruction from Mother Teresa. Give them instruction and receive them into the church. I get more orders from women superiors of religious communities than I get from my own Jesuit superiors. The man was not ready. However, the woman, I did receive into the church, gave her a First Holy Communion. But I told her to be confirmed by a bishop. It is important, I believe, for converts to know that there are bishops in the Catholic Church and to be confirmed by bishops. So the history now is that the sacrament of confirmation may be conferred either by bishops or priests. In the Eastern Rite, R-I-T, of the Catholic Church, those in union with Rome, as I'm sure you know, they confer three sacraments at infancy. My mother, who was Byzantine, was baptized, made her first Holy Communion, and was confirmed at the ripe old age of 3 days. And there in the Eastern Church, it is almost universal for the one who baptizes to also confirm. And that would normally then be a priest. And now the definition is a deceptively short definition. One of my mortifications, since the vernacular entered the church, is not to be able to teach in Latin. In any case, the Latin definition is, confirmation is sacramentum roborationis spiritualis. The sacrament of spiritual strengthening. And we may have an occasion to point out, as you know, behind the languages of all nations, there are certain laws. No language is in isolation. All languages are somehow interrelated, somehow. In the science of linguistics, the two consonants, F and R, which we use in English, but many other languages have the same consonants. They stand for strength. Thus, fortitude, notice, F-N-R, fort, a stronghold, fortress, firm, F-I-R-M, and confirmation. The key letters in the word confirmation are F-N-R. They stand for strengthening. In other words, the sacrament of confirmation is that sacrament which strengthens our spiritual life. And we'll go over the effects in detail, especially strengthening the foundation of our spiritual life, which is our faith. And whatever you remember from the classes we hold, be sure not to forget that the virtue of faith is in the mind. We believe with the intellect. Faith we define as the assent of the intellect to everything which God has revealed. When then we talk about confirmation as the sacrament of spiritual strengthening, we mean, as we'll see, strengthening across the whole waterfront of the spiritual life, but especially strengthening of our intellects to believe, and then to believe how? To believe firmly. The most important thing, this is the safest statement I can make during our classes, the most important thing we need in the modern world, we Catholics, is a strong mind. And we better know what a strong mind is. It has nothing to do with, well, big biceps. Or husky figure. Our strong muscles. The main purpose of these classes is to help us to understand our faith. With that said, you'll come back to the unanswered question that I'm leaving, because I want to go through the effects in some detail. What is the first effect? The first effect of the sacrament of confirmation is to increase sanctifying grace. And remember, all the sacraments have to do with grace. Well, then in sanctifying grace, it is that grace which gives us our supernatural life. When we're conceived, I'm sure we mentioned this in our last class. The moment we are conceived, the following things happen simultaneously. The ovum is fertilized. God creates a human soul from nothing. Third, God infuses that soul into the fertilized ovum. And those three first things that we've identified are what we Catholics mean by conception. When then we are conceived, we receive a human soul into our bodies. In other words, the human body without a soul is a corpse, or a synonym, a cadaver. Well, just as the body must have its soul to be alive naturally, so the soul must have its soul to be alive supernaturally. And that supernatural life we saw in last class is conferred when we are baptized. What then happens when we are confirmed? Our sanctifying grace is increased. We become, if we wish, more alive, supernatural. And in every way, but mainly in terms of our capacity, listen, to survive, to stay alive. Stay alive how? Supernaturally. And my friends, we are living in our day in the most supernaturally dangerous age of human history. Am I making sense? In other words, we are living in an age which is most dangerous. And I use the superlative advisedly. Being, shall I say, fatally injured or killed in our supernatural life. What's another name for that which kills the supernatural life? Mortal sin. Let me tell you, these words are not cheap, worn out syllables. our supernatural life is strengthened, first of all, to be able to survive. And that is why delaying confirmation much beyond the age of reason is very dangerous. Again, confirmation increases our supernatural life, otherwise known as sanctifying grace, by giving us resistance. Resistance to what? Resistance to all the threats to our supernatural life. And resistance not only being able to, by the might see the skin of our teeth, to manage to survive. But, well, to be able to work with people, deal with people, live with people who are a grave threat to our supernatural life. And, well, be very calm about it. Again, the sacrament of confirmation enables us to resist dangers. And as we'll see, not only to resist dangers when they actually face us, but to recognize dangers. I believe the sacrament of confirmation enlightens those who have received the sacrament, if only they're willing to be enlightened, about the dangers of our modern media. Did I give you Marshall McLuhan's description of the modern media? The modern media are engaged in a Luciferian conspiracy against the truth. The great Canadian philosopher of the media. We go on. What actual graces does confirmation give us? Either in title or actually. And as you see, I lapse into Latin without a second thought. In titulo. That means in title, by right. We receive a title to actual graces even before the age of reason. If a person has been confirmed before the age of reason, or for that matter, a person who, say, is retarded, mentally retarded, is not even able to use his or her reason. Actual graces are conferred by confirmation. However, for the person who has been confirmed, the sacrament both actually and in title confers sacrament of confirmation, confers actual graces for those who have reached the use of reason. When we speak of actual graces,